Pastor Mike asked me to fill in a couple months ago. I was pretty excited. Something that I've been praying for this moment for quite a while. I had a sermon that I've been working on for quite a while as well, and I was like all set. Then the past couple weeks, that kind of changed, so the sermon kind of changed. I spent a lot of time praying for the church, and probably one of the biggest things that I spend time praying with is growth in the church. I know we've lost some members recently, and I really feel that God has a lot of plans for this church, and I've just really been praying, you know, for God to bring us more people and for us to kind of get out and go outside the church. The scripture that I've got today is in Luke, Luke 14, 12 through 14. And it reads, "And then Jesus said to the hosts, 'When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.'" That scripture came to me quite a few times. Just reading a couple things that I've been kind of studying on my own. And it kind of started making me think a lot about this church. I kind of wanted to step out a little bit this morning and kind of be a little bold. One of the biggest things that I found as being, you know, kind of a huge tool as far as ministry is being transparent. And I kind of want to be a little transparent with you guys today. As many of you know, I grew up in this church. I think we started going here. I was about 3 years old and was pretty active. You know, I grew up, you know, going to, you know, our, you know, Royal Ambassadors and Crusaders and all that, and was pretty active in the youth group. The older I got, the more I kind of got, I guess you'd say, involved in the world. You know, a lot of my friends in high school, I had a lot of friends here that went to high school with, and, you know, we, you know, like I said, we were pretty involved in the youth group. But I also had my friends outside of church. The older I got, the more I started questioning things as far as my faith, kind of started struggling with different things. When I was, I'd say, probably around 19, 20 years old, I started seeing church more as the religion side of things. I wasn't seeing, you know, as far as like the relationship side with Christ. So the more I started kind of questioning that and kind of seeing that whole judgment and the rules and, you know, and I'm not good enough type thing is when I kind of started falling away. You know, I started getting more into it was about partying and, you know, doing different things. I never really drank much in high school, but once I got out of high school, that kind of changed. And then I'd say my mid-20s, it was more about, you know, my life revolved around alcohol, sex, the bars. I spent 6 years working at a strip club in Champaign, and I always say that 6 years of my life I'll never get back. But I wasn't exactly following Christ, and I wasn't exactly, you know, an example to the people around me. I never got to the point where I didn't believe in God, but it was more I didn't want God. And so I kind of, you know, I went to church very seldom, you know, I went here and there, and then kind of got more to the point where I just didn't want God at all. When my daughter was born, I was still working at the strip club, and we decided we were going to have her dedicated. So I was okay with that. I sat in church And one of the weirdest things is I kind of felt that pull, like God was kind of pulling me. But I was still wrestling with a lot of my struggles with, you know, here I am working at a strip club. You know, I don't want to give up the drinking. I don't want to give up the partying. I don't want to give up my friends. And it scared me. So that moment on, I wanted nothing to do with church. I refused to go. I was invited a few times, but I just didn't want it. I did have people that would ask me. My first wife, her mother, she would still invite me. And she would still, you know, push and stuff like that, which was a good thing. And then 2 years later, my daughter was 2 years old, and it kind of became my road to Damascus, is what I call it. We went, like I said, I was still at the bar. The funny thing was, about a week before that, I really started kind of having these, like, these thoughts, like, you know, I'm not real happy with my life. And I can remember it. It was in August. I sat at work. I sat at the door at the Silver Bullet, and all I could sit there and think about is how miserable I was. I do not want to be here. I don't know if that was when God really started kind of talking into my heart. And so the more I kept going and I kept thinking about it, well, that weekend, this was a Thursday night, that Friday, my wife at the time told me that she had filed for divorce. And I was just, and it smacked me in the face. We weren't happy in our marriage. I wasn't exactly the best person to be around. Like I said, in my life revolved around all these other things. My daughter wasn't a priority. My family wasn't a priority. And I was almost kind of wasn't sure what to do. Her mom kept sitting there and was still kind of talking about church. And one of the things was she wanted me to start going to church, and I didn't want it. Well, that weekend, I decided, well, I'm going to go to church. And basically, it was a show. I was just trying to do whatever I could, you know, try to save my marriage or whatever I needed to do. The funny thing was I sat in that church, and the whole time that I was sitting there, I couldn't even focus on the sermon. I couldn't focus on anything. All I could think about was, man, I need God. I need God right now. And it was a Free Methodist church in Arcola. And I think they do a thing. They don't really do like an altar call. They kind of do towards the end of the night, or the end of the sermon, you kind of go forward, you can pray or whatever. I think I freaked the pastor out because I went forward and I was just like, I need God. I need God in my life right now. And by that time, it was too late to save my marriage. But I really, that's when my walk with Christ really began. I started to see more of, it wasn't about the religion. It wasn't about the rules. I mean, granted, there are rules that God, you know, puts in front of us. But it wasn't about pleasing the rules and pleasing all these people and being judged. It was about my relationship with Christ. And the more I got into that, it was just like, through that, the last 8 years, that was in 2005, almost 9 years, the walk that I've had has been pretty interesting. I mean, it hasn't been, you know, a lot of people, they think that, okay, well, if I got Jesus in my life, everything's going to be great. It's not always going to be great. I still have struggles. I still go through all this stuff. But the reason I got to thinking about a lot of this was, and I start thinking about the church and, you know, and stuff like that. I've been to a lot of different churches. And in the last 8 years, I've attended, you know, Christian churches, Presbyterian churches. I've kind of been around a lot of different things. And through each church, I've always asked myself, am I welcome? And that was one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately. And as I came back to this church, and I struggled a lot with this church because there was things that I seen in the church that really affected my walk that I didn't want anything to do with this church. And then little over a year ago, I was still having some struggles in my faith, and I kind of stopped going to church. I was married at the time, and I hadn't been to church for a couple of months, and then I felt like I needed to go, and I went in, and while I was there, I went forward and I asked God, and I always tell everybody, be careful what you pray for because he's going to give it to you. I asked God to break me. You know, I told him, I said, I need you to break my heart. I need you to flip my life upside down, take whatever out of my life that is affecting my relationship with you. That day, my third wife, actually, at the time, we separated. So it was like, and I struggled with that because I felt like I was still doing what I needed to do, but that relationship was affecting me. So then I was staying with mom and dad, and I was using my dad's car. My big thing was dad didn't want to put miles on the car. It was his big thing, and that was the only thing I always remember. You can't drive a car all the time because you're going to put miles on it, and then it won't be worth as much. So the church I was going to in Arcola, he was like, well, maybe you ought to go over here. And I fought him on it, and I fought him on it. And I always kept telling him at first, I said, this church is like my Nineveh. I didn't want to go to Nineveh, you know. But the more I came back, the more I started seeing things. And I was still constantly asking myself that question, am I welcome? You know, and that scripture right there kind of really spoke to me because do we welcome people in? And that's one of the questions that I ask myself over and over again, you know, when it comes to, you know, we get visitors or when we go out and we do things and, you know, and I ask, do people feel welcome when they come in? You know, and I ask, and I sit there and I go over this in my head and I ask myself, is the man that spent many years with alcohol and sex and pornography and all this stuff, am I welcome? Is the guy that is going through his third divorce, am I welcome in this church? And a lot of the reason I think about a lot of this because there's a lot of people out there are probably thinking the same thing. Am I welcome in that church? And I know I'm kind of, like I said, I'm kind of stepping out a little bit. And that verse there, if you go to the Message version, the Message translation, that verse actually says, then he turned to the host, the next time you put on a dinner, don't just invite your family and friends or the rich neighbor, the kind who will return the favor. Invite some people who never get invited out, the misfits from the wrong side of town. And the reason I think about that because I think about who are we inviting? I mean, who are we reaching out to? Are we stepping out? Are we taking God outside of the church, or are we leaving him inside the church and just working together? I mean, not to, you know, try to rewrite the Bible, but, I mean, if you change the wording on that a little bit, and let's see here. It says, but when you give a banquet, invite the alcoholic. Invite the drug addict. You know, invite the porn addict. Step it further, invite the homosexual. I guess what I'm trying to say is, are we judging people because they're outside our church, or are we welcoming them in? I've got a short video here real quick. It's about 7 minutes long. But this is a guy that probably, if he walked in here, I would probably be a little skeptical about it. It's also kind of give you a little bit of a kind of a preview of the I Am Second series we're going to be doing here before long. This guy basically, I can kind of relate to a lot of this stuff because of the life he had. And this guy is changing lives every day because somebody asked him to church. Somebody stepped out of their comfort zone and invited him to church. The guy's kind of crazy looking, I'll tell you that right now, but has got an amazing heart for God. If you want to check it out.
So in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to accept Christ in front of everybody right now. then I'm going to go home and snort drugs until I don't want to do them anymore. And that was my way of thinking. So I received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter and put her in front of the TV. I remember I grabbed a $100 bill. I always used a $100 bill for some reason, pride or something. I chopped up my crystal meth, got it all smooth and powdery, and I snorted a big old line. And I held the bill and I looked up and I said, Jesus, if you're real like that pastor said, then you got to take these drugs from me. Come into my life, come into my heart. And I just got quiet. I said, search me right now, search my heart. And I stayed silent. And I said, you know I want to quit. You know I want to be a good dad for this kid. She lost her mother to drugs, and she's going to lose me if I don't quit. Amen. There's a high when you go on stage and you see all these people like just loving your music and loving you and stuff, and there's these girls and all these people going worshiping me. When you see all those people just going nuts for you, it's like, you know, it puffs you up inside. You're like, you know, I'm important. That's where drugs can creep in, and, you know, the cocaine or whatever, methamphetamines crept in, and it all came from after drinking for me and my friends. And it seems like fun in the beginning. It's a lie, because it turns around on you. It starts to wear on your personality, starts to wear on your relationships, and everything is affected by it negatively. Everything. There was a few times where life seemed good. My daughter, Janaea, she came into the world, and I was like, it was just such a euphoric feeling. I thought my life could just feel like that forever, you know? It was spiritual. Just, I didn't know what was happening. I just felt so much love just fill my emotions. And I thought I was going to be happy, but I just couldn't. I couldn't stay sober. I didn't know how. I hit rock bottom. I had swore that I would never do methamphetamines again, because I saw what it did to my child's mother. It just took her feelings away and made her leave her kid. I just wanted her dead. I wanted to kill her. I thought she was a scum of the earth, and you know, how could she do drugs like that and let the drugs win her like that? So I never was going to do meth again. I ended up with a everyday crippling addiction to methamphetamine, and everything that I said about my ex-wife came true for me. I sunk to the lowest gutter I could ever think of. I would spend time with my kid, and I would still be on it because I needed it to function. I'd get up in the morning, have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and snort meth, and then take her to school or whatever. It was just, I was a junkie. I started losing my mind. This guy would show up at my house with like a gun and stuff. And then I ran out in Europe, had my drug dealer just crazy send me drugs through the mail. I'd be tweaked out in my hotel room watching this package come from the U.S. It's just nuts. My life just was like spinning out of control. And Janaea had come out on one of the tours in the U.S. I just remember her skipping around the house, singing one of our corn songs called Adidas.
All day I dream about sex.
And I'm like going, what am I doing? I'm a junkie. My daughter's singing All Day I Dream About Sex. And I'm going to die. Father? My real estate broker, Eric, he said, Brian, I don't mean to be weird with you. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I felt the scripture like jump out at me. I've never done this before, you know, so I don't really know how to do this, but I felt like this would mean something to you. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I remember all tweaked out. I looked up in the dictionary, wary. I looked up burdened, and I pulled the scripture apart, and I was like, awful. I'm weary and burdened, and I need rest for my soul. And I didn't know if it was real, but you know, they invited me to church a couple weeks later, and I received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter, got it all smooth and powdery. Jesus, you got to take these drugs from me. Search me right now. Search my heart. Father, I felt so much fatherly love from heaven, and it was like, I don't condemn you. I love you. I love you. It was just love, love, and instantly that love from God came into me. It was so powerful that the next day I threw away all my drugs, and I quit corn. I was like, I'm quitting corn, and I'm going to raise my kid, because my kid, like, I got the love from God coming to me, and then it came out of me to my kid. It changed me. My heart was changed like that, and I was like, Janaea, Daddy's going to be home with you all the time. I'm quitting my career. And her face lit up, and she's like, for me? You know, she felt so special, and God used her to save me, to save her life later on. My dream came true. Way more than I dreamt about. I made more money. I played bigger shows. I mean, houses, cars. I tried drugs. I tried sex. I tried everything to try to get pleasure out of this life. And I thought that I could fulfill my life with all this stuff by having my dream come true. And it came true. But it didn't fulfill it. When Christ came in, that feeling he gives you, the gift of understanding life, which is everything was created for Christ and by him, and we were created to be with him. And it's the most incredible feeling, because you're where you belong, and contentment is given to you in life because you don't have to look anywhere else, and you're exactly where you need to be. And the question about life is answered. I'm Brian Head Welch, and I am second.
All because somebody stepped out of their comfort zone and invited him to church. He's got a couple books out. Amazing guy. I met him a while back. We saw him, me and Elizabeth went and saw him at a church up in Chicago. The books are pretty cool, because he talks a lot about how he uses Christ now with his struggles. I know we kind of said, you know, I had this love of Christ and instantly I'm changed, but you know, he talks later on about how, you know, every day is a struggle. He may have Christ in his life, but every day is still a struggle. He talks about going through his closet and having a bag of meth fall out of a shirt that he hasn't wore forever, and being on his knees and praying to God to help him to get rid of it, you know, and stuff like that. Just a great, I think, testimony. He has another organization called the Whosoevers that he works with, another band, and they do free concerts all over California, you know, and stuff, and witnessing to people and everything. Kind of a freaky looking guy, but it just kind of shows that those are the kind of people that they still need the church. You know, they still need us reaching out to them. I spent a lot of time as a non-Christian and as a Christian hanging out with a lot of different people. I've hung out with drug addicts. I've hung out with alcoholics. I've hung out with all these different people. And I can't honestly say that I've ever met a drug addict that is proud that he's a drug addict. So as we, you know, and myself included, I've done it too, of judge people and look at that guy, he's on drugs, he's, you know, all this stuff. But putting yourself in their shoes, they're usually not real proud of it. Myself, you know, back when I was into the alcohol and the porn addictions and all this stuff, I wasn't proud of it. But until I had Christ, I really couldn't see anything else other than the earthly pleasures and all this other stuff. In Romans 6:4, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." We are the body of Christ. As a church, as a whole, we are the body of Christ. And we need to be reaching out to these people. And as the body of Christ, we have the opportunity of giving somebody a new life. I was given a new life. You know, a lot of you in here were given a new life because somebody pushed me to go to church, or somebody witnessed to me. One of the biggest influences right before I accepted, I had a guy I worked with, and he was a pastor at a church. And one of the things I thought was really cool about him is he knew I worked at a strip club. He knew my life, but he still hung out with me. He still talked to me. He didn't treat me any different than he treated anybody else that he knew, anybody that was in his congregation. So my thing is, we can sit back and we can judge somebody for their addiction, their appearance, their lifestyle, or we can reach out to them and possibly give somebody a new life. Like I said, that's kind of one of the things that I've really been thinking about as far as growth in the church. Because we need to take God outside the church instead of keeping him here with this congregation. There are people out there that need God. There are people out there that need somebody to just love them, to reach out to them, to care for them. And my biggest prayer for you guys is to open our hearts and to open our doors to that church and take God outside the church and take Christ to these people. As we close with our final hymn, you know, the altar's open. I really encourage you. You know, I mean, if you've got things on your heart that you need to give to God, if you have having issues of trying to get out and witnessing, I do. I mean, I struggle every day, and lay it here at the cross. I mean, I think we all need it. People out there that are hurting need it. I just encourage you to come. If you don't know Christ, I really encourage you to know him today. Accept him into your heart. He's changed my life. He's given me a new life. I know I've made a lot of mistakes, and I can guarantee I'll make more. But I have Christ by my side to walk me through everything.